Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
A beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighborhood. It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty wood. Would you be mine? Would you be mine?
And welcome to the program. It is Saturday, folks, and kind of what that was all about is, as we all live and breathe in Obama land, everything has to be a fantasy.
Everything has to be what?
A fantasy, because everything all is all good. You know, I got my free Obama phone. You know, everything's just so rosy and good, and nothing's wrong in the world, and things are just wonderful, you know? So
okay.
So peaceful and everything. Because we have the president in the house, and everything is just wonderful.
Well, you can have him in your house. I didn't want him in mine.
You mean the thing about, yes, we can, and
where I go forward?
You're not falling for that?
Well, we've had different versions of that from every person running for office since the beginning of time, I think.
Yes. Yeah, back in the caveman days where they're standing up on the rock going, they didn't have language back then.
Which however, translated means vote for me.
Exactly. However, meanwhile,
don't vote for me. See the size of my club?
My club bigger.
I got bigger club than next guy, so you better vote for me.
Yes. Anyway, just like in the Justice League videos. Meanwhile,
back at the ranch.
Back in the real world, as we, you know, in Obama land where everything's all fun and rosy and but however, food stamps, of course, are hitting record highs, and people applying for Social Security disability reaches record highs as people are trying to find other ways to bring money into their home. And
you know, what really upsets me is from the beginning,
yes.
Social Security was supposed to be money that you put in and you saved for
right.
all your life so that when you get old, you can have money to live on.
Right. It was originally called the Townsend Act.
Yet right from the beginning, we gave Social Security to little kids and all kinds of people who wouldn't qualify for it because they needed it. So why am I paying for them?
Yeah, and they keep moving the age up and everything. But we got a lot to talk about today, folks, before we get totally into it and a lot of rant and raving to do because that's what we like to do and it's fun. But in order to do that, Cliff, how would somebody join us to rant and rave and have fun too?
They'll probably call us on the phone, 646.
I love the way you say that. Just call us on the phone.
646-721-9887. Now, that's an easy number to remember, especially if you write it down. 646.
Okay. 646. Okay.
That's easy. That's just two numbers, 646.
That's three numbers, 646.
That's two numbers, six and a four. Okay. Two sixes and a four.
Okay. Got that. Six and a four.
721. That's three numbers, that one is. Mm-hmm. And then there's only three numbers at the end, 9887.
Wait, so three numbers at the end is 9887. Oh, well, okay. If you're just looking at the fact that you have two of them that are the same number.
Exactly. That's why the two in the beginning, 646, a 6 and a 4, a 721 in the middle. That's not much you can do to that. But the end, 9887, is easy to do. How can you forget 9887?
Yes.
There you go.
So anyway, 646-721-9887. And if we banned you from the program, we have a number for you to call as well, and that's 646-721-9887. So call either number, and you'll come up on my board. And when you're ready to talk to us, you push the number 1 on your keypad, and it comes up with a little flag, and I say, hey, welcome to the program, area code so-and-so, and you are live on the air talking to millions of people around the world, so nothing to be nervous about.
And then we can decide what to do with you after that.
That's right. We can mock you for the rest of your life. But no worries. Don't hesitate calling the program.
As if anyone would after this.
However, if you're one of the thousands of people literally each week that listens to our program on the archives, and again, thank you very much for listening, you can also participate in the program in a roundabout way by sending us an email. talk@caribbeanradio.com. And one of these days, if time allows, we'll start updating our Facebook page, which we do have a Facebook page, and we'll get around doing that at some point.
Well, you'll have to update the Facebook page because I don't even know how to get to Facebook. So
yeah, well, that's why I'm in talks with a teenager that actually knows about it. So if you don't have to talk about computers, you get a hold of a 9-year-old.
Really?
But in the meantime, we are also available on iTunes. You can go to do a search for iTunes and KRBN. We're there. And we also have our own homepage at krbnradio.com. Check that out for other fun stuff. And
all sorts of things happening.
All sorts of things. We got a lot going on. We have a lot going on in the background. We just have a lot.
Keeps us busy.
It keeps us busy. In fact, speaking of keeping us busy, coffee and cookies, or more so cookies.
Okay.
Actually, cookies for your dog. Dancing dog cookies.
I wonder do dogs like coffee?
I don't know. Our dogs are hyper enough. We don't need them to have any coffee.
I could just see that. Coffee and cookies.
Coffee.
Dog sits down and drinks a bowl of coffee and has a couple cookies to go with it.
Yeah, it used to be that your dog would go get the newspaper for you, but can't do that anymore because there's no such thing as a newspaper. And so now they just sit down.
Dog comes dragging the computer in.
Yeah.
All chewed to bits.
That's iPhone master. that's politically incorrect, having the dog call you master. So, Fluffy, forget about the master thing.
Okay.
Anyways. Dancing Dog Cookies, handmade by Tom and Kathy in Eugene, available at select locations in Lane County and online at dancingdogcookies.com.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
That's right. Fido just opened up a can of Dancing Dog Cookies right there, because they're all freshly packed and ready to go.
A can of Dancing Dog Cookies?
We're hearing what you're doing in the background. 646-721-9887. Lots going on, like we started out in the beginning of the program, of Bahama Land, where everything's all nice and fuzzy and everything. But meanwhile, in the rest of the world, this hasn't hit the local news really much yet. And maybe that's because either they think it's a joke or they just don't care because of the bubble wrap society. About what's going on in North Korea, by the way.
Lots of things going on in North Korea. But mostly they're trying to figure out what Kim Jong, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Kim Jong-un, or however you pronounce it, I apologize. Don't target me because I mispronounced your name. But speaking of targeting, apparently he's playing around with missiles again, and several targets include, of course, the White House, California, and former President George W. Bush as targets.
Well, the whole state of Texas.
Well, yeah, but
I'm sure he'll figure he'll get Bush somewhere along there. But that's not necessarily so, because I don't think Bush spends a lot of time in Texas. I think he runs around a lot.
Yeah, maybe he's out there with Obama playing golf.
I can pretty much guarantee you he's not out there with Obama playing golf. He doesn't like Obama.
Yeah.
So that's not going to happen. But there's a lot of things happening in Texas, and there's a lot of, well, mostly North Korea. North Korea has already, I think, declared war on South Korea. So that's why we sent our bombers over there,
right,
to show off and to show that we can get them from. See, that's the big thing. North Korea's sitting there, and they're a long ways away from us, let's face it. And they have some really neat weapons. But I don't think they can get here. I don't think they can reach us, and especially with actual nuclear weapons in them, nuclear warheads in them, they can't reach us because nuclear warheads are very, very heavy. But basically, so we don't worry too much about them reaching us. They're also targeting Hawaii, which if they can't reach us in Texas or California, they're certainly not going to make Hawaii. Unless, well, how far is it if they went around the Earth the other way? Maybe they could go the other way and hit Hawaii anyway.
Well, I have two words for that.
Yes?
FedEx.
Okay, there's the answer right there.
Yeah, when it absolutely, positively has to be there overnight.
Yeah, FedEx. FedEx.
So what we're talking about is that Mr. Kim directed his rocket units on standby, and an overnight emergency meeting with top Army commanders hours after nuclear-capable U.S. B-2 stealth bombers were deployed in ongoing U.S. joint military drills with South Korea. And this, by the way, is available at the Telegraph that I'm reading from. And so with that, Mr. Kim has targeted, like we were just talking, Texas, California, of course, the White House. And
well, they're upset at Great Britain too. They're really hollering at them. I mean, let's face it, they're upset at everybody, and they're going to get so upset at everybody that they're not going to have anybody to be on their side. And when you're that small a country and that far away, you're kind of up a creek with if you don't have anybody on your side, you're going to be in big trouble. Yes.
And I don't know what this obsession is with golf. You know, I mean. And the only reason why I even bring that up, because in one of the headlines is Obama, you know, is playing the round of golf for the first time since the sequentia. And in the same article I'm reading about the missiles, it says that Mr. Kim's father, who was the iconic former dictator of the country who died in 2011 at age 69, famously played a round at the course in North Korean golf course or whatever, in 1994, which is the first time he played golf in his life. What is this obsession with golf?
I don't think anybody has an obsession with golf except you.
Well, and everybody keeps bringing it up in the headlines.
Hmm.
I mean, think about golf for just a second. I mean, you spend all day hitting a stupid little ball and trying to get into a cup.
No, I don't.
Well, that's because you don't play golf.
And won't. I spent years trying very hard to stay away from golf and was quite successful at it.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't even go watch golf. I didn't even go talk to golf. I didn't, well, we did report on golf in the radio station, but that's about all.
That's right. And I always love the way that they describe it. You know, all right, they're coming up to the tee and the crowd is being urged to be quiet. Well, he stands the same, takes a couple practice rounds, swing backs, hits it. It goes up in the air. Oop, wait, what? A bird grabbed it. We're going to commercial now.
The bird thought it was an egg.
Exactly.
Paint little blue dots on it and their bird would take it away. Yeah. Sit on that for years.
But the whole point is that in the U.S., where the top priority thing is whatever you can get free and who's playing the Ducks this year, there's the rest of the world isn't so warm and fuzzy. And we've been lucky, except for the 9/11 attacks at, in Pearl Harbor, of course, that we really haven't had that much aimed in our direction. And if the as technology catches up, one of these days, one of these dictators like Mr. Kim is going to be successful in his effort, or figure out about FedEx. And
I hate to take umbrage, if that's the word, but I don't think that's the case. I think there's a lot of things that are aimed our direction, but they don't get here. And there's a lot of things that are aimed our direction that they well make our own people, our own, whether it be the Air Force or whoever, is stopping them from hitting our land, our democracy. Well, make it known that you don't aim things at us. You don't aim things at America, because if you do, bad things are going to happen to you. And
we're going to go like after Osama. We're going to get even with those guys. We're going to find out who did it, and we're going to do it. And by the way, while we're at it, we're going to go over here and liberate these people, and then forget about the reason why we're over there in the first place.
Okay, we haven't liberated anybody yet.
And we're going to send you some really harsh words. You better watch out. Our president will get up there, and we might even send him without a teleprompter.
Well, he can't do that. You send him without a teleprompter, he won't know what to say.
Yes.
But the point is whether it's Obama saying it or whether it's someone else saying it, generally we don't tolerate a great deal of junk being thrown at us and a great deal of things being done to us, because we do, well, ultimately we do something about it, whether it's on our shores, and it generally is not on our shores. Generally it's stuff that takes place. See, that's partly why we have all these people in different countries, sitting in different bases all over the world. I don't think we need as many of them as we do, because it's become apparent now that we can set off a drone or a different planes or whatever we want to send to them from a long ways away. We don't have to start it. If we have maybe four strategic places around the world, that would be enough. We don't need 30 of them like we have now. And we don't need to spend as much money on them. For example, in Egypt, we spend a huge amount of money in Egypt, and we get virtually nothing for it anymore. And we haven't stopped spending that money. We haven't stopped spending that $2 billion that we send to them every year and got in trouble with for it this year. But we haven't stopped sending it to them, even though the people who are accepting it have changed. And we're giving it to different people. We can't even be working on the same treaty that we were working on before. I don't know if we've looked into it and done something about it, or if we're just sitting back on the same old treaty and honoring that. But it ain't the same, and we should have done something about it, as we should have. Almost every country now that we're sending money to has changed, whether it's changed governments or changed governors or our rulers or whatever. It's changed in some way or another. We should have stopped sending them money. And I doubt if we have any, maybe some of them, but I don't think we have any of them.
Well, and do we even realize that we're sending them money?
Well, that's the thing. We as people, most of the time, don't even know what we're sending. But we as the government knows, ready or not, believe it or not, I sometimes wonder what they know, if anything, but they've got to know that. I mean, well, maybe they don't, come to think of it. It's just really sad that the government could be so big and send out so much money and things just happen so automatically that we could just keep sending it and not even know what we're doing.
Well, one thing, because I want to get into money just a little bit later, but one, I want to get back to what we're talking about, the missiles and everything and the drones. We Are you familiar with the phrase paper tiger?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what the U.S. is. I'm really embarrassed to say, because we talk big, and just like the 9/11 attacks, we talked big, and for a brief moment, I was actually proud of Bush, especially the reaction that we were getting around the country, around the world. And that's why when he went soft, it was really sad, because to the rest of the world, we're a joke.
I don't believe that. Absolutely do not believe that.
I mean, just like, okay, like for example, I have to go back in the archives and find it. It's just like, I can't remember what country it was that was beheading our people, and more recently some more attacks on our people, and the president Obama came right out and said that we're going to go out and we're going to seek justice and we're going to do this, that, and the other thing, and nothing's ever happened of it.
Okay, I don't remember that, but the thing is, we can carry a big stick if we have to. We have the ability, we have the facilities, and we have the money, and we have the people. And you put all those together, if you make us mad, it's going to happen.
Well, see, I'll disagree. I will disagree. I mean, our country, our shores were attacked. And like I said, we were going to go after Osama bin Laden, and what happened? I mean, it took a political thing from Obama to actually go out and do him in, and we're not even sure about that because he was buried at sea, which is kind of weird, you know, honoring his tradition. Well, who cares about his damn tradition? He didn't care about that. We have laws against flying planes into buildings.
Actually, we don't know what started whatever it was that it convened in actually finding Obama. I think it started much more before Obama got in there.
Right. You got your Osamas, your Obamas.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
Yeah. We heard that. But somebody did find Obama, and now they put him in office. But Osama, yeah.
The thing is, I think it started long before Obama came into office. I think it started way back about the time that actually the bombing did take place. The two towers were struck. I think it very shortly after that, a lot of things were put into place, and a lot of things were put into action that we didn't know that were even taking place. And it was a good thing we didn't know it. We weren't supposed to know it. That was the idea. But I do believe that a lot of things took place at that time, and that's what took place and actually got Obama. The two things that, anyway, the bad guy. And I don't think Obama did it. I think the bad guy was got after, and really a bunch of people were involved in that, and it had very little to do with Obama. And I don't even think he actually, other than being the man in charge and the man that you report to, that's the only reason he even knew it took place, is because that he was the president at the time. And I really don't think he had a whole lot to do with making it happen. I mean, he just sort of sat back and let it happen. And that's what I'm upset about, because, you know, a lot of people get upset with the little George Bush. But I think he did a lot more for us than we thought he did. A lot of people thought he did.
Well, everything comes back down to politics and money. I hate to say that, even when the attack of our country. In fact, and again, this kind of gets back to what you're saying about, you know, if we got pissed off enough, would we do anything? Would we retaliate? I mean,
yes. Yes, we would. If there was enough, because nothing has really been done that's bad enough to bother us. I mean, let's face it, I'll say it again, and I'm sorry if I upset people, but when I do it, those two buildings were not intended to crash down. It was only intended to have a couple of floors destroyed. And that's happened in this country before, and it's happened many times, even to the Empire State Building. The Empire State Building had a big plane run into the side of it, and nobody even remembers that. But it didn't fall down. That's because it was built properly. As far as I'm concerned, the man who was in charge of or building that those two disasters should be put in jail, because there was something about that that was wrong, and there's no reason that those two buildings should have fallen down. And maybe we should be smart and get smart, and let's face it, we don't need to have buildings that tall. We can have them a little bit smaller and have two of them.
Well, not to spend too much time on the controversial, but to mention that if you watch the way the buildings did fall, they fell like somebody took, like they do when they are removing buildings, you know, where they have the dynamite placed and
they imploded.
They imploded, yes.
And that was partly why I was a little upset about it, because buildings are not supposed to implode. That means that they destroyed themselves from within. And what happened that allowed them to destroy themselves from within? Did somebody build those things with the idea in mind that something was going to happen? He didn't want to mess up too much of the area around, so he made sure that if it was going to destroy itself, it was going to fall, implode.
Well, and the argument is that the U.S. would not ever harm its citizens in any way to make a political point, which, of course, we all know is false, because the U.S. has a history, like, for example, of even using soldiers as unwilling test subjects in the past. Try saying that three times.
Well, I don't want to get into that, because that's debatable as to who did what. And I'm not going to say it didn't happen, but I'm not going to say it did either.
Yeah.
But that's way off of our idea here.
Exactly.
But
the whole point is that, you know, what happened at that time, which kind of relates to what's going on about attacking, we spoke strongly, we acted weakly, we took the American people, unfortunately, they were more upset at the fact that their television programs, I can't remember what was on at the time, were preempted. The days of our lives will be preempted due to the attack of the United States. What? And people were calling in, literally complaining to the TV stations about the interruption. And then, of course, we didn't want our children to know anything about this, because it might give them nightmares.
You must live in a different world than I do, because I don't know any of those things. I mean, as far as the children are concerned, they were in on it. They were the reports were played on the television over and over and over in the schools, and the kids knew all about it and discussed it and should have. But as far as, like I say, it was not supposed to be as bad as it was. Now, it was supposed to be worse than it was, as far as three planes carrying this stuff out, and we basically waylaid two of them. One of them hit the Pentagon, but not by very much. And then another one just hit the ground. But I think we went about doing something about it as we should have. I don't believe it was we did nothing whatsoever. There was a lot that was done about it at that time. I think it was just done fairly quietly. We didn't elaborate to the world exactly what we're doing, because you don't do that. You don't put out elaborate details of how you're retaliating. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Well, I mean, I agree with you there, but the point is what did we do, other than the fact that since then was the creation of the TSA, and you go flying the friendly skies and find out a new meaning of friendly when you go through the checkpoint.
Well, I think we did a lot to it, and it ultimately ended up in us actually getting Osama bin Laden. Is that right this time?
Yes. Biden. Obama, Osama.
Yeah, really. Anyway, we didn't stop until we got him. I mean, that was put into place. That started us.
Oh, yeah. We had multiple opportunities to get him.
We did?
We did. In fact, one of the first things that they did on the day of the towers going down, and this I'll give Bush and the administration credit, one of the first things they did, they ordered all planes out of the air. There was only one plane flying after all that, and that was as they were getting the Obama the Osama now you got me doing it the Osama family out of the country, because Osama bin Laden had relatives here, and they wanted to get them out as quickly as possible. And then it becomes a question: how did they know that it was actually bin Laden?
Well, see, we didn't know who it was that was involved in the thing at the beginning. And that's why you can't go after specific people. But we didn't stop. And the point is, we set things in motion that started going after whoever was responsible. And we didn't stop until we got who we thought was responsible. It may have been years later, but we got them. Now, there's a lot of things that have been done in between when we started and when we got him to impede our progress, that had a lot to do with our current government, our current president and administration, because I believe we could have done this a lot faster than we did, but he was not interested in doing much of anything. It just, like I say, it sort of happened to on his watch, and he took credit for it. I don't think it was his responsibility at all.
Who, Obama?
Obama.
No, it was a thing that he was trying to, he was down in the polls, they knew where he was. And it's just like, okay, go get him, guys, we need to do something about our ratings here.
Well, that's exactly true, and that's where we get into whether when the actual killing, if it did happen, took place. Of course, like you say, we don't know for sure if it did happen, because he was buried at sea, supposedly.
Yeah.
And we don't know if he was buried at sea that date or 6 months before, or if he wasn't buried at sea at all but was killed 6 months before and we know about it. See, that's our present government, our present administration doesn't tell us things, much of anything at all. Doesn't whether it's important or not important, they don't tell us anything. All they do is the president runs around giving campaign speeches, and that's all he does.
Yeah, campaign speeches, empty threats to the world. That's my whole point. You know, when Bush came out and said that we are going to stop at nothing to get Osama, and literally, you know, spoke very tough for a change instead of the paper tiger. And then all of a sudden, we take a left turn somewhere, and our focus is Iraq or Iran or whatever, one of the two, and we kind of forgot about Osama. But Bush said right in the beginning, this may take years. We're going to get into whatever, and that's what it turned out to be.
Well, I think the Iraq thing.
Iraq.
Excuse me. The Iraq thing was
dying on the air. It's in your contract.
Was a part of what we were doing. That was a part of getting our country ramped up to the military readiness to do it. And that was part of what we did. And then we moved over again. Then what happened is Bush actually left office. And the whole thing was all screwed up then, because Obama had entirely different accomplishments in mind.
God.
And he didn't care about that. He cared about his oh, goodness.
Help wanted, co-host.
Yeah. Anyway, consequently, we were left with a you gotta talk.
Okay. I've been trying to keep my internet running here. Maybe it's the other part of this computer is dying. One thing I will say, though, 646-721-9887. If you would like to join in on this or anything else that's on your mind, we do have a lot more to talk about, assuming my computer keeps running.
Assuming I can talk.
And that Cliff can talk. 646-721-9887.
But the whole point was that I was trying to make is the fact that we changed administrations, and the current administration had something entirely more interesting on their mind than, to them anyway, than us, and that was health care and all this stuff that he was sitting. He spent all his time working on that. He spent none of his time whatsoever doing anything overseas or anything with the war or anything useful. We just came to a complete halt for 2 or 3 years there, which sort of messes up any kind of thing.
Well, and see, you're making my point again. This is my whole point, that we are so isolated, so unconcerned about what goes on in the rest of the world, that we can actually literally be attacked, and we're not going to do anything about it except for maybe give speeches.
Well, and my point was, it was because of the complete change in administration that we did this. It was not because of we couldn't do it or because we didn't want to do it. It was because we had a person in there who doesn't know what he's doing, and that's what happened. I mean, granted, it's our fault because we elected him, but then, see, you got to understand the reason Obama was elected had nothing to do with him being competent or capable or anything. It had to do with the fact that he's black, and that's exactly why he's elected, and that's exactly why he's still there, and that's the only reason.
Because he's black.
Yep. This was the first time that we had a possibility of putting a black person in office, and we decided overwhelmingly we were going to do that. Nobody even thought about anything else at that particular time, I don't think, and that's why he's there. And that was probably the biggest mistake of our life. And I'm not saying anything about the fact that he was black that was the mistake. I don't think that was it. But the fact that he was put in there because he was black, that was the mistake.
So what you're trying to tell me is that the only reason, vote for me, I'm black, nothing else matters.
That's exactly what happened. And now, see, that's why what I'm trying to say is, I don't mean to say that because he's that black that they couldn't do it, because some people who are black, I think, could have done it, but not him. He had no experience. He had no background. He had nothing to put him in office for, nothing whatsoever. He had no experience. He had nothing. And yet there he was.
I thought he was put in there because we were tired of Bush.
We had no choice. He had been there 8 years, and he was going to go. We were tired of Bush because Bush was through. He knew he couldn't get back in there again, and so he didn't. He just stopped.
Well, yeah. Well, what I meant by tired of Bush, I mean, because McCain was the running against him, against Obama, and that was just a...
Anybody who would have voted for McCain was an idiot.
Yeah. And so what did we get? Another idiot.
Well, that's true. We didn't know what we were getting. We didn't know enough about what we were going after. We'd have been better off, actually, to get McCain, because at least McCain was a known factor, and this guy wasn't.
And that's the reason, again, why I didn't want McCain, because it was the my way of thinking, it was the continuation of the old boy network, same old, same old. And I don't know. I guess that's how Obama got in my opinion, that we wanted, like he was saying, hope and change, hope and change. Well, yeah, we're hoping things would change. Unfortunately, they changed. They just didn't change the way we were hoping. I need to write that down.
Well, that hope and change thing, that's a slogan. And I don't think anybody was led astray by that. Anybody at all. That was just a nothing. That was just something somebody dreamed up. And the fact, if anybody was led astray by that and actually believed any of that sloganism, they've got to be stupider than I thought the American people were. And in this particular case, everything was running so smooth, and everything was running so perfectly until right after the minute the man was elected, and then it fell apart. Now, granted, it fell apart like 2 months before he was elected, or before he was put in office, and so he can deny some of it. But in actuality, he was elected and knew he was going to be there when it fell apart, and then that was when it fell apart. And he didn't know what to do about it. Neither did we, for that matter, because we went on the totally the wrong direction. We were so busy worrying about the election that we didn't pay attention to the things that were happening around us. And by not paying attention to them happening around us, they got out of hand.
Exactly. Well, as I'm looking, as the computer will hopefully stay connected while I'm doing this, President Bush's speech right after the 9/11 attacks was about five paragraphs. I'm going to read it cold here, but it kind of makes my point, I think. It says that today our nation saw evil, the very worst human nature, and we responded with the best of America, with the daring of our rescue workers, with the caring for strangers, neighbors, and who gave their blood to help in the civil way. Immediately following the first attack, I implemented our government's emergency response team. Our military is powerful and prepared. Our emergency teams are working in New York. I'm going to skip that part. Our first priority is to get help to those who have been injured and take every precaution to protect our citizens at home and around the world. The functions of our government continue without interruption. Federal agencies in Washington, which have been evacuated, they are reopened for essential personnel. Our financial institutions remain strong, and the American economy will be open for business. The search is underway for those who are behind these evil acts. I directed the full resources of our intelligent law enforcement community to find those responsible and bring to justice. We will make no distinction between the terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them.
Okay, and I don't understand what your point is with that.
My point is to that is again, this was one of the speeches that that we are going to go after the people that did this. And I can't believe that with all the resources that we have, that we weren't able to, A, find him, B, go after him, although there has been reports that we knew where he was at, and C, then we turn our focus to something else instead of, really, if we were putting our full resources to finding Osama, we could have done it. That's what I believe. And
well,
instead, what we wind up with is, like I say, is it more inconvenience? You can't get on a bus anymore without being scrutinized and showing ID and even being searched.
I don't put those two points together. What we're doing to ourselves here in this country is just absurd. That doesn't make any. There's nothing to do with the amount of people or the amount of circumstances that we have going after them. I don't believe we didn't do anything. First of all, this was a huge, huge, huge undertaking within the United States. We had to understand what was going on within the United States because this was a major, major thing that happened, and it turned out to be much more major than it was supposed to be, but it was still, nonetheless, a major happening when those two buildings fell down. We spent, I believe, a month just reacting to that, if not more. And there's a lot of...
What the heck is going on out here?
There was a lot of resources to be redirected within the United States. And that was what kept, I believe, the man busy doing that and figuring out what to do, what, where. And then with the ideas to worry about where to go after the man who, trying to find Osama bin Laden, I'll get it out, that was sort of, for the first two or three months, was secondary. There's no doubt about that. Because first we worry about it happening in the United States, and then we overreacted. Of course, we do that with everything, just about. We overreact, and that's how we got up.
How can we overreact? Is that right?
What?
It says, how can we attack? How can we overreact to being attacked?
How can we overreact to being attacked?
Yes.
You don't think giving free rein to tap phones, doing all these other things that this Homeland thing gave the president or gave the government free access to, that isn't overreacting. I mean, let's face it. I understand that it was horrible and it was terrible and that anybody could do this sort of thing. But this is the first time in 100 years or more that we've had anybody come on our land, our property, and do anything. And then, so for 100 years, we've been safe. And then we go ape and just let them do anything we want them to do, or they want to do. I mean, I think that's overreacting.
I think it's overreacting is that, well, like I said, that we didn't follow through with what we said we were going to do. We got sidetracked. We made huge inconveniences. It's like locking the barn doors after the horse got out.
Okay, what didn't we follow through with?
With our threats to hunt down Osama.
That's what I think we did. I think we did follow through. We didn't necessarily do it instantly because we didn't have any idea where he was. I mean, let's face it, this was not run by one person. This was not one person organization. These people had been here for years because they lived here and they had established identities here and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this was not something that was to be done overnight, regardless of how smart we were, how good we were, or how intelligent we were. This wasn't going to be done overnight because it hadn't started overnight. So it was not going to be something to run, you know, we can't just run over to India and grab him, so to speak. I mean, there's got a whole big world out there that's so much bigger than ours.
Well, I don't know. All I'm saying is that we have a history of being all mouth and no action, and we can't even get our own act together, and we expect the rest of the world to fear us. I mean, talk to people from other countries, and we're a joke.
I disagree. I disagree wholeheartedly, and I have talked to other people from other countries, and if you talk to the people who really think about it, we're not a joke. They wouldn't dare try anything and think they could get away with it. Now, individual people might be able to try something, but you try another attempt on another. How I keep putting it out there that this was not intended to be what it was. This was much more dramatic than what it was supposed to be. These buildings were not supposed to fall.
So what was supposed to happen to them? Just boom, has an airplane in there and...
Exactly. Just like the Empire State Building did. It had an airplane run to the side of it, and it destroyed several office buildings, and then they took it out, and it was fixed, and it was always well. That was all that was supposed to have happened. True, it was two of them, and it was supposed to be the Pentagon, and there were four different things that were supposed to happen, which with you figured them all together, that was a terrible thing, and we would have reacted and perhaps done something to do something about it. But we don't know what would have happened because it just those two buildings eclipsed everything, and that wasn't the people's fault who ran into the buildings. That was just accident. That was happenstance that it happened that way. It was to their benefit. They thought it was great, but it was not something that was supposed to have happened, and they didn't know how to do anything about it any more than we did.
So you're saying this was planned?
No. It wasn't planned. That's my point. The fact that it was the buildings were run into, the idea that the whole thing is all five planes doing whatever they were supposed to do was supposed to be a horrendous thing that took place, and it would have been. But any other things other than the two buildings that fell down, those are the only two things that counted once those two buildings fell down. It was the only two things that counted. And at that particular point, it was far beyond everyone's expectation. In other words, we sit back and we say, okay, 2,000 people were murdered on that date. But that was not what was supposed to happen. Probably 50 or 60 people should have been killed, which would have been terrible, I understand, and I agree, but it would have been acceptable and at the moment, because that's not a big thing. I hate to say that. That's a terrible thing to say. But the point is, they got a lot more bang for their buck than they thought they could have. And we reacted to the bang for the buck, not to what was supposed to be taking place. Not that what was supposed to be taking place wasn't important, but we could have handled it a lot easier. But we went way overboard, way, way overboard, reacting to what did take place instead of what was supposed to have taken place.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then. Let's say that Mr. Kim follows through, successfully managed to get missiles over here, whether he uses FedEx or UPS or actually, you know, however he does it. And let's say he successfully takes out DC. Well, I'm not going to say DC because nobody would miss it. Okay, we might miss Texas. Let's say Texas. And how do you think we as a nation, not just our government, but we as a nation would respond to that?
Well, if I took out all of Texas, we as a nation would probably, it's hard to say what we would do. We'd probably get very upset, and our stealth bombers would go over there and wipe out a little bit of their country or some of their country. You're not going to take out all of Texas, period. I don't care.
I'm taking out all of Texas. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they took out Corpus Christi. I don't know. But the whole point is that foreign bombs successfully came over and destroyed, I don't know, the downtown park. But how would we react to it?
Well, I honestly believe that we would certainly go attack them and in a way that we eliminated any possibility of them doing it again. Now, whatever that may be, that's what we would do to do it.
Do you really think the U.S. would do tit for tat?
Well, I don't know if what you call a tit for tat, but eliminating any possibility of it happening again, I think we would do. And we'd have the help of other countries doing it, too.
You really believe that?
Yep.
So why didn't that happen when the 9/11 towers were attacked?
Because that wasn't what was supposed to have happened. The 9/11 towers, first of all, there wasn't a country that did that. So you got to understand they were attacked from within. Our own airplanes took them out.
Yeah, they were our own airplanes.
Who do we go after?
Say again?
Who do we go after?
Who do we go after? Well, apparently we blamed it all on Osama bin Laden.
Okay, and he's not a country. He's a person. And we didn't know where he was.
He was a terrorist.
We didn't know where he was.
Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda is not a country either.
No, it's an organization of terrorists.
So how do you check out an organization? I mean, an organization can have offices and have headquarters in 10 different countries you have to wipe out. I mean, it's not the same thing. North Korea is a specific entity. North Korea is a country. It is a government. It is run by a person. Now, whether we take out the person or whether we take out the government or whether we take out a city or whatever, I'm sure that we would do something to see to it didn't happen again, plus the fact eliminate any nuclear aspirations that they might have in the future, and just as I honestly believe sooner or later we're going to have to do with Iran, but we're going to do it one way or another, and I don't know that it's going to be up to Obama to do it, because I don't know if he knows how to do it, but I do think that Obama at this particular point is being talked to by enough people, Great Britain and Israel and a couple of others, to think about what he would do. But the point is, it would have been done, and we'd not have that problem unless, depending on, you know, we can say we take out all of the people who are bad in North Korea, but that doesn't mean it's going to do anything. It could be more people that are still upset about us and then reorganize. So it's hard to say what could take place, but I believe that for the moment something would have been done to retaliate. I don't think we would have sit back and do nothing.
But again, just using your own argument, Al-Qaeda is a group. It's not a town or not a country or whatever. And as you're saying, if I understand you correctly, how can we go after individuals or a group?
Well, North Korea is a country. It's a small country. It's easy to find, easy to get to, and easy to obliterate.
Okay, so what does that have to do with bin Laden?
Nothing.
Right, that's my point.
What?
It was the Al-Qaeda group that went after, or that was accused of going after the 9/11 towers, and bin Laden was the leader of the group, and Bush said we were going to stop at nothing to get him and put Al-Qaeda out of business, and yet we went over and sent our military to go attack another country. What does that have to do with Al-Qaeda? And you just made my point saying that we can't send our military after individuals.
I don't think... you're jumping from one situation to another. We're talking about North Korea, and then we're talking about...
Well, the whole point is we're talking about that being attacked, the other countries don't really have to worry about retaliation. I mean, yes, this is indirect. It wasn't... No missiles were sent overseas to take out our towers. They had operatives that came over here trained on how to fly our planes and to take out U.S. targets. And it's so easy to do. I mean, heck, our borders are so open. They could actually take a Greyhound bus over here probably and put the missiles underneath. Who knows? I'm kidding about FedEx, but maybe they could actually send them FedEx.
Well, actually, that's true. They could. There's no way we can protect every border, every area, and against everything. There's just no possible way. No country can. So we have to just protect what we think is important, and the easiest, our best ways that they can have a delivering a bomb of that sort. And it's all we can do. And that's partly why we've got all of these ridiculous little rules and regulations that are going on, is to try to protect some of us from some of that. But the point is, again, the reason we didn't go after Obama, is because he's a person. He could be anywhere, and he can move fast. Whereas if we had North Korea bombing us, they're going to be there, period. And we can bomb them.
And it sounds like you're saying that we can bomb them just because we want to bomb them.
You said because they were going to send a bomb to us.
Right. I see what you're saying. Okay, I thought you were talking about the back in the 9/11. But no, you're right. I mean, if Mr. Kim does decide to do that, then yes, then we can go after his country, definitely.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what we can do now, that we were talking about the two different things. If you're still talking about 9/11, that was an entirely different thing. That was a huge organization that did that. That was not Osama bin Laden that did that. That was he supposedly made up some of the rules and kept people together, but it was not him that did it. That was a huge organization that did that. And they had a lot of people involved, and they had been working on it for a long, long time. And unless we've had somebody else in the works that's working on another situation like that, it's not going to happen again. And I'm not saying that we don't. There may be people in the United States today that are working on the same type of situation that are waiting just for the proper time and the proper moment to do something similar to what we're talking about. It could be going with General Motors buses to the base of some huge building and trying to take it out or to put a bomb in the middle of New York or something. That's a possibility, but we don't know of that, and that's why we're living through some of this crap that we're living through now, is because anytime we find out any little noise, any little thing that goes on, any little hint of something happening, we go investigate it. And that's all we can do to keep our populace safe.
Anyways, give out the phone numbers real quick, Cliff.
646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call. If you're interested in getting involved in this or yelling at me and telling me I'm a stupid idiot for what I'm talking about, 646-721-9887. Don't forget, though, that that if you're going to yell at me about what I'm talking about, you got to be ready for me to yell back.
That's right. And Cliff is a prime target right now. 646-721-9887. I want to play a real quick little clip here, Cliff. Say that three times fast. I haven't had a chance to go ahead and edit this. I'm just going to do about 30 seconds of it. And hopefully everything will work.
Thank you. May God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.
President Obama speaking from the East Room of the White House, telling the nation and the world President Obama is in fact dead. It was a U.S.-led strategic, Osama bin Laden is dead.
Confusing.
Okay.
It's kind of easy to do.
Osama is dead.
Obama is dead.
Details that have never before been heard about how Obama was killed.
First we had heard through the media that a missile attack had killed Obama.
We're hearing that a U.S. helicopter actually went down near the attack where Obama was killed.
It started when Obama took office. He directed the head of the CIA to make killing Obama their number one priority.
The U.S. went in, destroyed that helicopter. They didn't want the enemy getting to it. But Osama and three other people,
they got a possible lead on where Obama might be hiding.
After decades of searching and a worldwide manhunt, federal agents discovered Obama's secret location.
American operatives had learned bin Laden was hiding out.
Osama was hiding out.
The intelligence said Obama was hiding in a compound deep inside Pakistan.
You know, Obama, he was probably an old man.
You're talking about Osama bin Laden.
Osama bin Laden,
gotcha.
Yeah.
So you're not alone.
I don't feel bad now. All those other people getting it wrong. It's hard to say. It's hard to decide which one to use. And, of course, well, no, I better not say that.
That's right. It's like, don't admit anything on the radio.
That's true. Not bad, anyway. So, but it's difficult to figure it out. And the difference between 9/11, there's a radical difference there because, you know, like that was not don't believe that was a simple operation. And it also was not it was not thought up yesterday. It was something that had been how long, some of these people had been here 20 years to get an identity and to be they weren't expected
suspicion.
Suspicion, there's the word I was looking for.
Well, I mean, having foreign people coming in and to learn how to do something is not totally uncommon. It's just that the general public probably never thought about, when was the last time we had an attack on our shores?
That's the thing. We don't have an attack on our shores, and we haven't had for so long that we didn't worry about it. And now we do, and it is upsetting, and it is disturbing to have so many restrictions and so many things put on our freedom of movement that we didn't have before because of that one situation. Mm-hmm. But you can't let it go by without doing anything.
Well, and that's why I hope that if Mr. Kim is successful in launching his missiles, that, like you said, that we would retaliate in some regards and not just make it a political, how can we make money or drag this out for another 10 years to help our economy?
Well, because the idea is with one country, one simple little country, or one simple little person, or one government, it's easy to go after them and easy to take care of it. But even if you don't, if you go and wipe out here's another interesting thing to think about. Think about North Korea. Do you know who has the largest military in the world? North Korea. A little tiny country like North Korea has the largest military in the world. I mean, even larger than ours, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And so for to one little country and I can understand why he would think that he can do any damn thing he wants to when you've got that much of your entire country tied up in forces, of military forces that are being trained to do whatever you want them to do. And he's amassing huge weapons. He's getting weapons, bunches and bunches and bunches of them. I mean, all kinds of different weapons. And he puts them on display. He marches them through the streets once in a while and things like that. And that's got to give him tremendous fortitude. He's got to think he can do anything he wants to. But the fact is, he's still a little tiny country, ready or not. He's the smallest of the two Koreas by far, and he's half the size of South Korea. And you could put all of the country into military forces and march him through the streets, and he still wouldn't be dangerous, as far as I'm concerned. And you could wipe him out. The United States could wipe him out, and they could use the two bombers that they sent over there and wipe out almost the entire country just with those two or three bombers. And I don't know if he knows that or if he's aware of that or if he even cares. I think he's so enamored with how much power he has, but he doesn't have it other places. And he's got to understand that China and a couple of these other countries are close by, and they're huge, not just big. They're huge, and they're not going to put up with this forever. That's just all there is to it. They're only going to put up with just so much, and then they're going to clamp down and say, okay, that's it. You don't get to eat. You don't get to do nothing. They'll put different – what's going on here?
Never mind.
Oh. Anyway, it's something that that they're going to have to worry about, and they're going to have to look into. And it's much different than what they – I think that Mr. Kim is just – he's way beyond his means of being able to do anything.
Well, in a way, he wouldn't have to do that much. I mean, if you look at the headlines, which kind of leads into one of the things we were talking about before the program, if you look at the headlines, like what's going on with the sequester and our budget and everything, like, for example, the White House scrubs first daughter – or White House is no longer doing tours – because of budget cuts, but yet the first daughters are out on spring break shutting down slopes and stores and everything else, and we're spending tons of money on Secret Service and everything for that, but we don't have money for the tours. We don't have money. We're cutting traffic control towers because we don't, you know, a whole bunch of things that we're shutting down.
See, I think you're missing the point, because the sequestration says specifically what they can do and what they can't do. And shutting down the tours to the White House, cutting down out certain different things, this specifically says that they have to do that. It has nothing to do with whether somebody's taking a vacation or not taking a vacation. It doesn't identify that. And we can't take the money from point A and use it to point B and spread it around where we'd like to see it spread. It just doesn't work that way. And why, I don't know, because this was a combination of Republican and Democratic people who put this sequestration bill in effect, and they wrote it and they put it together and put the idea was. And I think they both wanted to make it as hard on the general populace as they could. So now, it's the big thing about the White House being shut down. That's such an insignificant little thing that they take place. Do you realize that the money that they saved? Well, first of all, they didn't save any money by stopping the White House tours, because they had to relocate those people that were involved in doing the White House tours. So those people are still being paid, just put somewhere else, and they had to be moved somewhere. They had to make a job for them. Let's put it that way.
Well, so that was my point, though. My point is what it looks like around the world about our budget, and I think it makes it look a little bit more vulnerable to other countries.
I don't believe that other countries are that stupid. They know what's going on, and they know what's taking place just as much as we do. They know that our government, this administration, is trying to play games, and they're doing so with our lives. And we know it's not going to happen to us either. It's not going to be affecting us very much. this business of towers being shut down. You mentioned that on the airports to being shut down and not funded. Well, why are the towers on the airports being funded anyway? That's not a necessity, because these are huge, big airports. They're making horrendous amounts of money. There's no reason they can't support the towers and keep them open themselves. And so why are we paying for them in the first place? And a lot of these big airports have a tower on there. There's a tower on Boeing Field that's run 24 hours a day, or has been. I don't know if it is right now, but has been run for 24 hours a day and has several employees. And there's like two flights a day, an hour maximum, coming out of there. And it's not necessary to have a huge tower and all the information and all of the support that that's got. It's just not necessary. It's costing us a fortune to have it there. And there are many, many, many other airports that have got the same problem. And so we're not doing anything that's of great gonna bother us, really. It's all can be taken up with money from somewhere else. And as far as the tours to the White House is concerned, two programs that I've heard watched on TV have found places in the federal government where there are little overruns that they could save the money, and that would support the White House tours. For one of them was 74 years, they figured they could support the tours with just the savings that they found in three different places. So it's there, and it's just a matter of what they're doing to make us uncomfortable. That's all.
Right. Well, and that's something I wanted to kind of also bring up too. This just came out about 9 minutes ago, as I brought up a little bit about the Obama's daughters being out on the spring break vacation, and how it's closing down stores and Hills and everything. This is from Breitbart.com. Which are just talking about White House scrubs first daughter ski trip report, says local news affiliated in Idaho reported that the first daughter, Sasha Malia Obama, are on a spring break trip in Sun Valley, Idaho. The story quickly spread across the internet when picked up by the highly trafficked Drudge Report website. Hours later, the story disappeared from WMVT website without an update or correction. Breitbart News confirmed that the White House requested that the post be removed, citing basically the daughter's safety, which I can agree with. But it brings up the other thing is about they're on vacation with Secret Service, but who's paying for their vacation?
Well, you know, these two kids did not ask for this. They did not even ask for their father to be President of the United States. Are we supposed to put them in jail for 8 years because of this? I mean, what are we supposed to do? We can't let them go there just completely unaided and completely unattached, because
no, I totally agree with you. We cannot, because you know, it for so many reasons, not just to mention security, but you know, I mean, one way to control a leader is to, you know, capture their kids. I totally agree with that. I totally agree with the fact that for the kids' safety, we should not be advertising where they're at, et cetera. But the whole point, and of course, Secret Service comes with, even retired presidents get Secret Service. The whole point is that, okay, they're going on vacation. Is the Obama family paying for the vacation themselves, or are we paying for it? I mean, Secret Service goes no matter what. I mean, that's a given. That's their safety. That's something. But on the other side of the coin, because of the Secret Service budget, we're cutting out White House tours, we're cutting out a bunch of other things. The Obama family is still going on vacation on our dime, not just the daughters, but Michelle and Barack. And you know, in other words, I guess what I'm saying is like me saying, okay, I only got paid I got to say $1,000 or $2,000 take home this month, and my bills are $1,800, and the rest of it I have to live on. But yet I'm still going to go ahead and go spend a weekend in Vegas. Now, how smart would that be of me if that's all the money I have?
Well, I don't agree with the equivocation. I don't accept that premise at all. The simple fact is we have a lot more money than that to spend. The point is we should not be punishing the two kids.
Oh, I agree. Leave the kids of the
well, I'm because the simple fact is even if we had to buy that particular snow, bunch of snow, all of it, even if we had to rent it for 2 weeks that they're going to be there, a few days they're going to be there, whatever it is, just buy it out. Just pay for it entirely. We should do that because the simple fact is why should we – they shouldn't be required to pay for their dad's or mom's situation. They're allowed to have a vacation. And we've accepted the fact that we're going to pay for it by electing their dad as president. So consequently, that's something that we should be doing. Now, the fact that the guy plays golf 10 times a week, that I can understand we can complain about because he doesn't need to play golf 10 times a week. But this is something that happens only a couple times a year that they go on spring vacation. So consequently, we should pay for it regardless of what it costs.
Well, like I said, I have no problem like with paying Secret Service to protect the president and his family, the former presidents, or anybody else at risk. What I do have a thing is like I'm skimming over a New York Post thing where first Lady Michelle Obama and her two daughters went to a posh resort in Aspen, Colorado, and then they went ahead and separated and took two separate ski trips or whatever. It's like, again, okay, they're living, I guess my point is we got this budget cut thing going on. They're living like royalty. And who's paying for all that?
Well, first of all, who do we have that's closer to royalty?
In this country?
Yeah.
Well, if you want to get right down to it, I guess the president.
That's it. And so if we're treating them like royalty, if we're allowing them to take vacations like royalty, that's the name of the game. We do that.
Well, I suppose in a way you make a good point because every time something happens, we're always saying that, we need to, the president did this, the president did that, and it's like, okay, well, how can a president do this, that, and the other thing when we have the other houses that are supposed to kind of keep everything in check?
Except that they aren't keeping anything in check. You look at the Senate and the House, and look how much money they're spending on themselves and on various and sundry things and spending money on doing stupid, frivolous things. And they're not even a vacation for themselves. They're just stupid, frivolous things.
Right.
And yet we haven't stopped them doing that.
And that brings up an issue that gets my blood boiling, and that's more towards – Cliff knows where I'm going with this – the Eugene area here in Eugene, Oregon. In fact, what's really ironic is that these articles come out in the exact same newspaper on the same day. One headline says, City of Eugene is $5 million short and is going to have to cut police and fire, cut services, close the library for a day, cut other closed parks and do all this type of thing. And yet, in the two pages over in the same newspaper, we're going to spend money for a $2 million skateboard park that we don't have enough money to run. We're thinking about putting in, which never works, at least not unless you do the real size, these roundabout things, which cause more congestion or close down streets, and spend more money on other projects. Well, in the meantime, we have potholes like crazy. You need a four-wheel drive to go through Springfield, practically. And it comes down to what's your priorities, like Cliff was just saying, is that frivolous things. We don't need a skateboard park. There's not enough people to support it. And our limited amount of money should go into, like I say, police, fire is more important than a skateboard park.
Well, to a certain extent, I agree with you. The police and fire department is such a huge amount more than the skateboard park is that the skateboard park sort of pales by comparison. The skateboard park is a couple $100,000 or whatever. We're talking about millions of dollars in police and fire department a year, and it's a continuing thing over and over and over again. So trying to fund one as compared to the other, they aren't compared. They aren't a possible comparable. And so,
yeah, but a $2 million skateboard park when you got a $5 million city deficit?
The city deficit, I would say, is probably something a lot different than the $2 million. See, again, the $2 million skateboard park is one at a time. And
no, you still have to run. You still have to maintain it. You still have to provide bathrooms. You have to, you know.
We decided that's not going to happen. There's no money to do that, right? That's part of the budget of the county. That's $5 million in debt, and the simple fact is, $5 million in debt, that can be found somewhere.
Right.
That can absolutely.
Well, don't spend money on frivolous stuff. You set your priorities. That's right. That's my whole argument. If the economy's doing good, unemployment is down where it should be, and we're bringing in the tax dollars without having to keep finding more ways to tax people to death, and we run our budget accordingly, frivolous stuff like skateboard parks, can be done. But you got to put your priorities. You know, we get away, in my opinion, about what the job of the government is, and the priority thing of the government is the well-being and safety of its people.
Okay, there you've gotten your own self. The well-being and of the people in the county has to do with their entertainment, their skateboard park. That's to the well-being of their country, of their citizens. Yet, the well-being of their citizens in the amount of money that their shortfall in the county is concerned, that can be found. That can be found someplace to place somewhere else. It can be a little bit here, a little bit there, and it can be filled in. And so, consequently, the $2 million skateboard park is a priority because that's a one-time thing. And the other stuff is stuff you can find over and over and over and over again. We need to change how we're thinking about everything we're spending. Because there's a lot of money we can spend in the entire Lane County government that doesn't need to be spent and could be put somewhere else, and I believe that there's a huge amount of money there. So, we should have been doing this all along. We should have been saving this all along. When there's lots of money here and then we're flush and we have lots of money, we don't spend it, save it, because there's going to be another time, not too long from now, when we're not going to have that money.
That's my whole point. And I just using that as an example, like the lack of money for the White House tours, as you're saying off the air. I forget what group that was you're telling me that came up with various expenses they could cut out and save that could easily fund the White House tours and other things.
Yeah, there was a couple of them. The main point being, it's such a small amount of money that it shouldn't be cut in the first place. It's we're going to get you to do that. What?
It's the people is the whole point.
Yeah. And consequently, that's what we're doing with all of these things. It's partly the president and partly the government, the House and the Senate, both doing this sort of thing. And we're sitting back. That's one of the cases where I agree with you. We're sitting back on our dead butts, and we're letting them do this to us. We're letting them do this to us. We don't have to do that. You know, let's just.
What can we do? I mean, seriously, what can we do?
Cut all of their asses. Just dump them out of there. Just flat have a big election and dump them out. That's simple. We don't do anything as a people, mostly because. Right now, the easiest thing to do is sit back and say, you know, thank you for my free phone.
Yeah,
and thank you for this. And because Obama understands how to keep the people on your side, give them things.
Yeah.
And he does that. So, and why are we upset about that? That's, you know, we shouldn't be upset about that because he's simply doing what it requires to get what he wants. Now, how long that's going to happen and how long that's going to continue on and how long people are going to break that down and let it happen, I don't know. Sooner or later, they're going to catch on and get smart and get pissed.
I would hope so, but then the people have, they have short memories. All it takes is a little sound bites, and they go off and, you know, and they well, you know what I'm saying. They
well, the simple fact of that is, the fact of the matter is we're not going to do it this year or next year. We're not going to do it this season, what do you want to call it, for his last 4 years. We're going to wait until the next election and do something about it. We're going to start elections running. Well, in a year, things are going to be going full blast as to who's going to run. That's one of the things that we've got to do is we've got to decide the Republican Party has got to make some huge changes and big, or we're going to get another 4 years of Democrats in there, and then what's going to happen? I mean, unless it's a Democrat that's going to be a lot different than the ones that are there now, which I don't think is going to happen, then people are going to maybe get upset enough to do something about it. But this is a thing that takes a long time festering and working its way into something that makes the majority of people upset enough to do something about it. But again, as long as they know that they can sit and get by, because we've got more people on the dole right now than ever before. We've got more people than ever before getting free money and free things and handouts and such things. And they can go for a long time. They can keep this up. I don't know.
But you're right. It is going to take the people getting upset, and it's going to take a letter writing campaign. It's going to be putting pressure on the politicians. But it's going to take people wanting to get involved. And
the thing I worry about is: are we going to catch up to the idea that it's destroying our country before it does, or is it going to destroy our country before we've caught on to the idea?
Well, I think it's just like with the Obamacare thing, which goes in, is beginning to go into full effect. We'll go into full effect, I think, in 2014. That, first of all, the uninformed need to become the informed. They need to stop listening solely to the sound bites and do their own research. They need to do more than what our representatives do and actually read the bill and start putting pressure up on them, because all they're hearing is what they want to hear, like the Obamacare. I'm going to get free health care. No, you're not.
As long as they get their freebies, they're going to sit back and accept it.
Exactly. Like Limbaugh says, there's nobody's going to vote against Santa Claus. And until people can get involved and say, hey, enough is enough, but the question is, will that ever happen?
Well, it will happen, but will it happen before it destroys our government, right, before it destroys our country and bankrupts our country? That I don't know, because there is a certain point when you keep borrowing from China, when you start borrowing from China, there's a point where they're going to want it back, and when they don't get it back and they can't get it back, then they're going to think a bit twice, and then they're going to start putting the pressure on our government and our country, start paying the money back that we owe them, and if we don't do that, then they're going to start taking whatever they want. You know, what's it going to be? They're going to take over Washington, D.C.?
Well, that brings up a point that we've talked about many times on the air, is that, yeah, we borrowed a lot of money from China. What happens if we default?
Well, better start learning Chinese.
I thought we were supposed to learn Spanish.
No, that's already done.
Oh, that's old time. Okay.
They've already taken over.
Oh, okay. So now we need to learn the Chinese.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how we got to learn Chinese. That's
fine. And I just ordered my tape too. So.
Yeah, harder to learn.
Yes.
Anyway, we're out of time.
We are. So again, join us next week, next Saturday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. And if there's anything that you would like to share, send us an email.
Bye.
Bye.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com. Or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.